It just doesn't happen. But I used to believe for a 10-day cold, but that's what the world would get, a 10-day cold. And so I thought, well, can't we shorten this thing up? And so I started believing God for colds that only lasted a week. That's stupid, but I did it. And guess what? My 10-day colds lasted 7 days, and I thought, what if you could just have like a 3-day cold? And I believed God for 3-day colds, and you know what I got? 3-day colds. I thought, what if you could get over it in 1 day? What if you wake up one way, but the next day it's gone? And you know what started happening? It was gone within a day. And I thought, isn't that interesting? I worked my way down. My level of faith wasn't where you'd say just jump from a 10-day cold all the way down. It wasn't there. I had enough faith to chop a couple of days off and work my way down. So let me just check this for you here, see how we're doing. Oh, it's going good. You'll freeze or you'll cook, depends on where you're sitting. Praise God. So you can't push people past their level of faith. And I know we want to try. We want it so hard for them. Even if it's your spouse, you can't believe for them if they're canceling it out. As much as you want it for them, you can lay hands on them and help them, but I know we'd like to think we can just step in and do it for everybody, but you need to believe for yourself. You need to find out that God loves you, and He all paid it for you, and you can have it. Anybody here? Anybody? But it's more than that. It's just more than that, because we talked about recently in the last month or so having a testimony in your pocket. We need testimonies. We need a pile. We need to be able to reach in that pocket and pull a testimony. Austin preached about it. Pull that testimony out wherever you're at, wherever you're at. I was buying some lumber yesterday at Lowe's, and I'm cherry picking all the good boards out. And I've been there for probably better part of an hour because I wasn't finding just scabby stuff and stuff that looked like bow and arrows. And so I finally cherry-picked everything out, and I had just about enough. I just needed a couple more, and a guy walks up. And I'd put all the garbage stuff back. And he walks up to take a few, and I went, ah. I said, this is a good pile right here. He said, well, I only need a couple. And I said, well, pick them out of this pile. Pick him out of the, I said, that pile's all just kind of garbagey. So he did, and he left. And I thought, okay, well, that was just three down, you know. So I'm turning around, finished putting the scabby stuff back, and another guy walks up. And I said, you know, that's kind of junky, but this is a really pretty good pile. I had pulled some out and set them aside to kind of almost good enough. And I went to offer him the almost good enough, and I locked up. And I said, these are the best right here. And I said, what are you building? He said, I'm building a gate for my dog. I got to go in for an operation in the hospital, a gate for the dog. I said, you can't have a gate out where everybody can see it out of junky wood. You need the best there is. I said, this is the best right here. You pull off of this pile. He said, well, my wife will be upset with me no matter what it looks like. I thought, oh, that's too bad. I felt bad for that. He said, no matter how good it is, it'll never be good enough. I said, well, take it out of this pile. He said, I got to go into the hospital for 8 days after operation and dealing with some cancer stuff. And he said, so I got to have a gate for the dog. And so I got to build this dog gate. And I said, our church, we believe in healing. And I said, we've seen miracles. He said, what are you dealing with? He said, they got to remove my esophagus and reattach it, take it out. I said, in our church, we've seen a lot of cancers disappear, inoperable brain tumors, things like that. I said, we didn't used to see it till we started believing it. He said, we started believing in miracles and started seeing miracles. And he took his boards and he left. And I turn around and start picking out the almost good enough pile, because the scabby ones are there, and replacing what they've been taken. And he walks back. And he's got a piece of paper, and he says, I want the name of your church. He said, I'm going to tell some other people too. I said, bless God. Now, I'm wearing my baseball cap backwards. I'm covered with paint and sawdust. I didn't have my preacher shirt on or anything like that. Nor did I find it necessary to say I'm the pastor of the church. I'm as normal and average a Christian as everyone here. God simply graced me, assigned me this position, and graced and assigned you to whatever position you are, whatever it is. And so you don't walk up to somebody and go, I'm in the helps ministry. No, I'm a Christian like you, like everybody else. Bless God. So he wrote all the information down, and he said, don't be surprised if you see some new faces showing up. And I thought, well, that was easy. That was just simply going to Lowe's. Going to Lowe's. Now, I delayed, and I went to Lowe's. And that delay was important. That delay was very important. Don't think that delays are disastrous in your life. Some of the best delays in my life have produced some of the best results. I was looking for this trailer to have a storage trailer this week. And I thought, I got to run that brush up, get that brush up to the brush pile by the water tower in Darien. Get that. And I puttered around and puttered around. I finally loaded it up, and I thought, well, I got to go now. And so I get in there, and I unload the brush, and I'm driving back past Winkapaw Welding, and there's a bunch of trailers there. And I'm thinking, ooh, there's some really nice trailers there. And I walk in, and I talk to Wink, and I said, you know, you own them trailers? He said, well, just two of them, but I use them. I said, oh. And there was a guy I graduated from high school with standing there. He says, I got two trailers. They're 20-footers. They had house trailer-like things on them, campers, and they were stripped down to the frame. He said they were dual axles and 20-foot long. They're really 24-foot long. He said, I picked up two of them for $100 a piece. And he said, I could let you have one of them. I said, really? How much? He says, for what I got into, $100. He said, in fact, I'm going out to my shop right now, the gravel pit. And I'll meet you out there. I said, I'll take it. And I thought, what if I hadn't taken the brush there when I did? What if I hadn't spotted that other? I walked in the door, and the guy who has this beautiful tandem axle trailer for $100. And I thought, timing is everything. The will of God is found in the what and the when. If you get the what but miss the when, you still miss the will of God. Or if you get the when but you miss the what, it doesn't matter. Both have to work together. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. The Holy Spirit saying stop for a coffee and a donut will save your life. Because down the road on the highway, there could be an ambush prepared for you somehow, somewhere. And you certainly want to miss a brilliant opportunity to witness to the doctors and nurses. Anybody that walks in and says, oh, God put this disease on me so I could witness to the doctors and nurses, they don't believe it. God did this to me. Well, what's that tell them? God's not a good person. He put me right in there so I could witness to them. You know what the witness would be? I'm healed. And they walk in and they go, we don't know what happened, but it's not on the x-ray anymore. We don't know what happened, but we're releasing you now. All the symptoms are gone. We don't know what happened, but we got to let you go. We can't keep you when there's nothing wrong. We went to Oklahoma. I didn't know a thing about healing. Headed to Oklahoma, packed up the kids. Levi, sitting back here, he was probably maybe 6 years old. Emily was 5. Carrie was about maybe 12. Headed for Oklahoma. Didn't know a thing about faith. Just started to learn that faith was something interesting. That it wasn't, you're a Presbyterian and you're a Catholic. That's what we thought faith was. What's your faith? And they'd tell you their denomination. So we get there. On the way there, a tornado almost took us out. It's going alongside of us. Like, we're paralleling it. Like, keep driving. There's this tornado going by with, welcome to Oklahoma. So we pull off the road, and we're in a gas station, and we're back against the wall, and the glass, have you ever seen glass breathe? Like a lung? That glass is moving in and out as that tornado's going by, and the lady's saying, everybody get out of here. I don't want the liability. Get out of here. We're going, that glass pane is breathing. She wants us out. What's she going to do, pick us up and carry us out? We got back in our car. We got to Oklahoma. Everything is going good. And Levi wakes up one day with symptoms, light sensitivity, pain in the back of his neck coming forward, everything like that. We take him to the hospital. They say, we believe your son has spinal meningitis. Put him in a reverse flow room where, no air can come out of that room. You got to wear full garb and gloves and face everything. Well, that was a hospital I was working at anyway. And, his fever is like 104, wouldn't come down. All the classic symptoms. They went to take a fluid out of his spine. We didn't know it. He was thinking he was going to die. We didn't know it. He laid real still as they're trying to poke that needle in and draw spinal fluid out of him. And I guess he was looking in our faces. 6-year-old trying to figure out, am I dying? Am I going to die? We didn't know that fear was on our faces. But 24 hours a day, Shelley or I was with him. I'd take my breaks and she'd sleep in the chair. Day after day, the symptoms stayed. Day after day, the symptoms stayed. We prayed. We believed God as best we could. They had one of the top 3 pediatricians in the world was there taking care of him. The tests came back. They drew every kind of fluid they could. The tests came back and they said, well, we've got good news. We don't think it's spinal meningitis. We think it's Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And I go, yes. And Shelley's going, no. We're not going to trade down. Well, I'm glad it's this instead of this. We're not going to trade down. I was celebrating Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I didn't know. Shelley's thinking like, don't trade down. Don't trade down for a lesser. No matter what they say, oh, you don't have to worry, it's not this, it's this. Don't trade down. We had to wait for 3 days for the results to come back. Night and day, his symptoms stayed. 104 fever, all the light sensitivity, everything. Finally, the last day, the results came in, and his symptoms disappeared completely. Bang. They said, we don't understand this. We can't find anything wrong with him in any of his fluids. At all. Nothing. We can't find anything. And all his symptoms are gone. We have to release him. We can't keep somebody in the hospital that doesn't have anything wrong with them and no symptoms. You ever said, you know what, I'm not doing anything this weekend. I think I'll just check into the hospital. Well, some people do that. I was a social worker for many years. Some people that are, their lives are kind of out of control and they're looking for somebody that looks like they care. They'll check in and out of the hospital all the time. They're regulars there because they feel, oh, maybe somebody cares about me. So they let him go. We went to camp meeting all that week, kept him up to midnight every night. No symptom ever came back. lying symptoms. Well, either he had it and it's gone, or there were lying symptoms. But when you put a thermometer in somebody and it comes up at 104 and they're light sensitive and the pain in the back of their neck, their menges are just tearing them up, what happened? I don't know. I don't care if they were lying symptoms or if it was real and it actually was there or not. Then we discover something about lying symptoms. Be careful that the symptoms that you're experiencing are not just lying symptoms. Well, if I feel it, then it's real. Not necessarily. I was in church. I can see, hon, we're not going to get a sermon preached today. I was in church, and I was doing praise and worship, and my right hip was just nailing me. It's like, I'm up front doing praise and worship. Nobody sees that my hip is hurting. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's not your pain. I thought, well, it sure feels like my pain. It sure feels like my hip is out. And I thought, you know what? I don't have a bad hip. And the Holy Spirit said, there's a lady in here whose hip is really hurting her. And I thought, if I turn around and I say that and nobody gets up, I'm going to look like a fool. So here I go. I thought, oh, God, you better be right about this one, because I don't want to stand up there and call something out and not be there. And I said, well, there's somebody here that the hip is really bothering you, and it's a lady. We didn't know, but this one girl became a friend of ours. She was a missionary to India for 3 years. She was with our church for about 2 years. She wasn't even going to come to church because she had to come up those steps that we had. And it was like, so she said, I'm going anyway. And she fought her way up the steps and got to the back row, and that's about as far as she could make it. And I said, if you come right now, you're healed. And she got up out of her chair and walked forward, and her symptoms left immediately and stayed away. And when her symptoms left, my symptoms left. I was picking up a word of knowledge in a body part. If you're just having a normal day and all of a sudden a particular symptom comes on you, don't assume it's you. Don't lay claim to it. What if it's somebody else? In that case, the word of knowledge about something came on in the form of sensing it. Some people that are evangelistic or traveling ministers, they know what's wrong with a person because they feel it in that location in their body, and they get relief when the other person receives the healing. Many of you have known people like that. Don't assume that every symptom is yours, especially if you're close to somebody. Don't assume it's yours. Praise God, you can help somebody else get relief by God working that in your life. So the lying symptoms, whatever they might be, like in Levi's case, in Levi's life, they were gone, and it never came back to him ever again. The devil is trying to discourage us and take us out early, take us out completely, way, way, way early than we needed to go. We needed to be at Bible school. We went there because we didn't know anything. First week, they said, listen, if you're ready for the ministry and you already know this stuff, leave. This is a school only for people that don't know what they're doing. And we walked in, you know, all summer long. We got there early. We're telling everybody, we sacrificed all this to come to Bible school. We gave up our jobs. We sold our furniture. We sold all this stuff to sacrifice. And they're saying, the first week they say, you didn't sacrifice anything. You were delivered from your old way of life. God delivered you out of that job and away from that stuff. Completely delivered out from that. We sold everything. Sold everything. I had a garage sale, and we made like $20. And the next week, I had another garage sale, made another $20. Shelley says, I think we should help this other couple go to Bible school. And I thought, whatever sells at the rummage sale the next time, we'd give to them. I'm thinking, $20, okay. I said, we'll give whatever comes in. Guess what happened? Everything sold. Everything sold. Now we have an empty house, no furniture, nothing. A table didn't sell. That was left in a mirror. $5 mirror and a table is all that's left over. Everything sold, and all of the money that was supposed to be used for our furniture when we got to Tulsa, all the money was there, and I'm holding all the money, you know? And Shelley says, well, you said we'd give it all to them for the next one. I'm thinking, this is all we have. There's nothing in savings. We've just sold everything. And she said, what you said. So we gave all the money to them. Gave all the money, all of our money to them, so they could go down to Bible school. They were going to Tulsa as well. And we took off with two little cars and a little trailer that pulled some toys and our clothes, a broke-down waterbed, a mirror, and a table. Didn't even have a chair. Not even a chair. We got there. We didn't have a place to stay. But the couple we gave the money to did. So we had nine people in a two-bedroom apartment. And it worked out well. We slept in shifts, had turkey hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, and it worked out well. We moved into an empty apartment. Kids had to sleep on the floor. We didn't have a bed, just blankets. We told them we're camping. Our furniture were cardboard boxes. And then things started happening. The flow began. The flow began. Go to the dumpster. There's a vacuum cleaner in it. We got an old vacuum cleaner that still works. Gave it away to a lady that didn't have any. Pulled the vacuum cleaner out, turned it on. Oh, it's burning rubber. Well, it was a belt. Pulled the belt off, new belt on, got a new vacuum cleaner. We went to buy some furniture, $50 for the couch and the ottoman and the chair and stuff like that. Remember that? Oh, take this too, they said, and take this too. And they kept piling it on. We weren't paying for it. And so we kept filling our house up with all the stuff. Everything was on sale or sitting. Kids were leaving Bible college and just taking their furniture out and putting it at the edge of the road. We filled our house, and after a while, our whole apartment was full. Our whole apartment was completely full. It filled up. We went there with nothing. And I was making $8.25 an hour. Family of three, kids, two adults, two tuitions, two cars at 8.25 an hour. We had a swimming pool, a hot tub, a cathedral ceiling, a fireplace, a three-bedroom apartment. And Shelley would say, you do the bills. And I looked at them. I said, it's impossible. We're tithing. I was an accounting major for a couple of years. I look at the numbers. I said, it's impossible. Impossible. We got right to a point where we couldn't make our tuition. If we didn't come up with the money, we were out. I had cashed in what little retirement I had working for the state government to get us partway through. And Gary Sladek, huh? Oh, is Larry and Cheryl? Sold Gary Sladek's van? I do. Okay. You want to tell the story? Okay, now I'm goofed up now. So is Larry and Cheryl sent the money? Okay. The second time. Second year. Okay. I'm off. Thank you, Cheryl. So we stayed in school and we finished and we came home and Larry and a guy named Mike came up with a flatbed truck and a trailer to take our stuff home, to bring our stuff home. And we packed everything up. and we're heading for Wisconsin, and we're 2 hours away from Tulsa. We have no place to go back to. And the axle broke? No. What broke? The springs? It dropped down to the ground. Blew a tire. That's what it was. A tire blew, dropped down, ground off. It caught fire. With everything we had was in this trailer. And Larry ran out with a jack, and he ran and shoved it under it. The jack wouldn't work. He had one and a half ton or whatever. He couldn't get the jack. Well, the jack looked like it wanted to work, but the tonnage was way too much. And so I was saying, let's just get back and let it go. Everything we had in our life was on fire. Shelly comes running up with some antifreeze to throw on it. Anybody knows antifreeze does if you throw it on a fire? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Antifreeze, gas, both will work. Larry runs back and gets some 2-liter bottle of diet soda, and he's shaking it up. You ever try to put out a tire? I grew up in a junkyard. Sprays the tire with the soda. And now we have a burn-up tire, a broke-down trailer, and we're 2 hours from Tulsa and 10 hours from Wisconsin. We get in the car and drive back to that intersection. And at that intersection, there's a motel. And we walk in, and we're going to put the kids up for the night because we got a broke-down trailer. And so we said, where can we get some tires for this trailer, which is a weird, odd side. The lug nuts were this far apart, one of those weird. They said, well, you know, on the other side of the bridge here at this intersection, there's a trailer place. And we thought, wow. So we go to the trailer place, and they have two what they call takeoffs. That means when they bring in a trailer, they take off the standard ones and put on the rich, fancy wheel. And these takeoffs are brand new, and they fit perfect, and he had two of them ready to go. So the guy who has the trailer says, I'll buy them. They're my trailer. It fixes it up. $80 for a pair of brand new tires mounted on the rim, the unusual ones, right there at the intersection. I said, we need a place because our springs are broken, our U-bolts are broke. He said, across the street they custom make them. Across the street. So we walk across the street, and a guy comes out. He's got a pretty big hairy belly, and his shirt's open, and sweat is just running down his face. His name's Eugene. And we said, our trailers broke down. And he says this. Ha, ha, ha. We thought, oh, no. Oh, no. And we said, how much would it be to rebuild some springs for a trailer? And it wasn't very much. It was like, I don't know, $16 or something. So Larry's going, how much to add extra leaves? And so he took our springs and he put two more leaves to make it from a 3-leaf to a 5-leaf. And these tires were extra heavy duty that carry a heavy load. And we said, well, how much for these custom-made U-bolts? Ha, 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 that'll be $6. We're going, okay. And so we took the kids to an afternoon matinee movie, put them up overnight. They loved it. They were in the motel. Next day, we're on our way with the heavy-duty tires, the heavy-duty springs, because where we broke down happens to be the intersection that has two brand-new tires that only fit that trailer across the street from, well, we had a 1,500-pound trailer. And tires rated for that. And so we drive all the way back, and we're supposed to be pulling into the weigh stations. And every time we pulled in, they'd look up, wave us through. We stopped at all of them all the way home. Now, it's a dollar fine per pound that you're over. We had a 1,500-pound trailer. So we get home to Darien, and we go up to the feed mill. They said, we're just wondering what this trailer weighs. 6,500 pounds. No wonder the jack couldn't lift it up. No wonder it broke the springs. But we drove home with 6,500 pounds with five Leafs, the heavy-duty tires, and they waved us through. A dollar per pound fine for being over. And we did everything right. We had no idea. Now, here's the deal. When we left, we gave everything away. I'm not patting myself on the back. I wasn't happy about it. I didn't know about faith. I did not understand the laws of sowing and reaping. I didn't know. But here we are, 2 years later, having paid for the tuition, well, an 8 1/4 an hour, family of five, two cars. We're hauling 6,500 pounds of furniture and books and clothes and toys back. I didn't even see that. And we're debt-free. And we're debt-free. And we're debt-free. It was happening, and we didn't even know it. It was there. We didn't. God supplies and continued to supply. He kept bringing the stuff in and bringing the stuff in and bringing the stuff in. And he just kept doing it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's a sweet deal, on having all the stuff added to you. But that isn't where our goal is. It's, stuff can be a distraction to you. Our goal is the presence of God in our life. Because there's a lot of rich people that are pulling the trigger on a gun or taking an overdose that are very wealthy and have all the stuff, but they don't have the presence of God. What a lonely life. And you can be sitting in this church this morning and not have the presence of God in your life. Now, he's there. But just like electricity was always there before you discovered it, we've got to discover the presence of God. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Joy. Well, what's joy? Well, if you have to ask the question, you need to find out about it and what it is. There's a level of contentment that you can reach. The contentment is because God is the real deal. It's true. He's here so that your body is not hurting as a distraction, so your bills are not a distraction. He doesn't want anything pulling you away from him at all. So having your bills paid and not hurting anywhere, that's a sweet deal, but there's a higher level. I remember Brother Hagin, the guy who started our Bible school, he said, pain can be such a distraction. It pulls your attention. Look at me, feel me, look at me, feel me. Pulls it. He said he'd go to hospital sometime, and they'd be in such pain, you want to pray for them, but they were so distracted. So sometimes they had to give them a pain pill to knock them out or numb it. And then he said you could get in there and get enough faith into them to whip it, to beat it. He said, but as long as it was this total distraction, you couldn't do anything about it. They were so concentrating on the pain, they needed a little bit of relief. And when they knocked the edge off of that pain, then you could get in and get the Word of God into them and get that faith activated that's already there. We're not against doctors. We're not against anything that'll help you. The doctors and us are on the same side. We all want people doing okay, because it's hard to move your life forward when there's this constant distraction pulling you towards focusing on a bill or a symptom, or if you're just an emotional roller coaster wreck, just waking up every day and there's anxiety, in your life. Praise God. Doesn't have to be that way. I'm saving my sermon for Wednesday because this is what the whole Holy Spirit is leading me this direction today. You already figured that one out already. But God is the real deal and the big deal. About a week or two ago, I think it was last week, preached on Genesis 15:1. I am your very great reward. God wants to bless us, not to say that that's our goal. Happiness, we showed you, isn't even the goal. Having stuff or not having stuff, who cares? The Apostle Paul says, I count everything a loss in Philippians chapter 3, compared to knowing Christ. Praise God. When the kids laid down on their blankets on the floor of our empty apartment and we said, we're camping, you think that they were having fun? They were. We're eating on the floor, sleeping on the floor, sitting on the floor. We didn't have a chair. We were camping. What fun. And some of you, when you were first married and you didn't have anything, and you look back to some of those early years and you think, man, we appreciated every little thing we got. And you look at his good times. Well, God is still in the same business, taking you from glory to glory. And in this place, he's real. He wants to be so real to you that you can't look anywhere without seeing him. You can't look at a rainbow or cloud, water. You can't look at a baby. You can't look at a flower without going, God, I see God. I see God. I see God everywhere. I see God everywhere. When you sent us to that last bed and breakfast, ordered us away. That was a fantastic place. That was the weekend that they were doing a TV show on bed and breakfast, and so the beautiful lady and the announcer guy was there, and the camera crew and the team was there photographing everything, just taking pictures of all these elaborate rooms. Fantastic place. And interviewing the guests. They interviewed us at breakfast out on the patio. And so this beautiful lady who does the show for Outdoors Wisconsin or something like that, we walk past her, and she's like dressed to the T, you know, and she's sitting outside on this swing, porch swing, with a good-looking guy who she's engaged to. He's also a guy that does another outdoor. He's a sports guy. He's another announcer. And I'm thinking, woo, look at those people. They look like they're pretty and smart and wealthy and all that stuff. We're walking by to take a walk, and a butterfly flies in front of them. And she bumps the guy and says, you see that? God made that. It changed my view of her as one of these people that, oh, they think they got it made, look at that, and that. She stopped and she told him, God made that. And I thought, wow. Wow. I said, wow. On the inside, she's different. On the outside, she was beautiful and looked smart and personable and everything like that. But then I realized on the inside, she was too. God made that. And I want to live my life so it's like a God made that wherever I go, where you can't go through a day. If you want to stay in touch with God, you're never going to do it by just dropping to your knees and praying for a couple hours. You've got to be able to function and move and go and say, man, wherever I go, God's going with me. He's setting me up with supernatural intersections and saving me from this and making me arrive at the right time for this. And he's the deal. And what a sweet deal he is. And he wants us. We love him because he first loved us. That is wonderful. Praise God. Well, we're going to end with short announcements and offering. Usually don't do that. Hallelujah. Is there any worshipers still here that can play some music in the background? Praise God.
Well, good morning. God is good, isn't he? Mike, you've got some dishes from downstairs from camp meeting. It's on the table. Wonderful. Thank you. Praise God. Isn't God good? Every step of the way, he takes us, he leads us, he helps us. Amen. And as we grow in his grace, it's amazing to see how he continues on. He keeps going and keeps leading. Well, a couple things. Nitra, he's got to go in the library. But we have camp meeting CDs, and it was a wonderful time. So as soon as those are checked in, check them out, because they are good, really, really good. Let's see. Where is Jane? Jane, come on up and make announcement for this. We've got a sign-up sheet for a women's event.
Well, Pastor's already said we're going to have a purse sale. And do we have a trailer full of purses? Let's bring a trailer full of purses to sell. Has anyone ever heard of a church having a purse sale? Well, anyway, we are. Someone mentioned to me that they have purses to get rid of, and I'm sure there are many of you others that have purses that you'd like to get rid of. So, what's the date? 27th of August, we're going to have a purse sale. And I thought, since we're going to have ladies here, let's have a luncheon. So we're also going to have a salad luncheon. And it's going to be a fundraiser, either for mortgage, Ghana, whatever we're going to do it for. But let's raise some money here, and let's fill a purse for the church, okay? So this is a sign-up sheet for salad and desserts. Any questions, call me. But let's get this going. Need help, ladies, to bring salads and to help here to serve, and whatever way you can help me, I'd appreciate it.
Amen. Testimony forms, and we've passed a bunch of them out, but I haven't received a bunch of them back, so get them to us. I know there's been lots of testimonies, and it doesn't just have to be for camp meeting. We handed them out right after camp meeting, but if there's testimonies, we like to have that. Why? So we can look back and point people in that direction. Did it encourage you hearing some of the testimonies this morning? Well, that's the whole point of testimonies, encouraging the body. Amen. And I don't have my announcement sheet. Is there one back here? Thank you. We have coming up this week. What is 6th already, right? 7th? Okay, Tuesday night at 6:30 at our house. The ladies that are interested in going down to Kindle the Flame at Rhema for the women's meeting, we're having a meeting at our house, planning meeting, going over details, and that will be at 6:30. And address is 339 West Beloit in Darien, if you haven't been there yet. End Times Update is Thursday, and that's it for Monday is Healing School, Wednesday is our midweek service, and we do have prayer Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Wednesdays at 5:30. So if you want to join and be part of that, I'm looking to start a corporate prayer on occasion. So it's going to be starting up, but if you are interested in helping to support the prayer base, we would encourage you to come and join us for that time in the fellowship hall Sunday mornings and upstairs in the junior high room for Wednesday nights. We're going to go ahead and take up tithes and offering. Praise God. Yes, ma'am.